Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Let's give him praise tonight, shall we? Come on, let's do that. Let's give him high praise. Come on, let's not cut him short tonight. Let's give him what he deserves, our worship and our praise, our thanksgiving and honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's take a minute. Let's take a minute and just love him on him. Praise God. Come on, let's take a moment to exalt his great and glorious name. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, for the moving of your Spirit, God, for the work of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I want to thank you again for being at Wednesday night service. Don't forget that this coming Friday and Saturday, our youth will be having their youth sale. I believe it's going to take place in the KC Center. I'm not for sure, but I think so. If you've brought anything tonight, tonight is the deadline, I'm sure. If you call tomorrow and say, you know, I've got some things, I've got a feeling they'll probably be able to fit it in one way or another. But if you have anything tonight, make sure you see the Johnsons or some of the young people. I think they're actually working on that this evening. So be mindful of that. And let's be at church Sunday. Everybody say Sunday. Amen. Bring somebody with you. Amen. Make an effort to bring somebody with you. And if you don't ask, they can't tell you yes. Matter of fact, they can't even tell you no if you don't ask. So ask. You may be surprised. I know Sister Fitz was surprised years ago when Al decided he wanted to come to church. After them ladies got to praying for him, shook his world, he came. Amen. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost, baptized him in Jesus' name. And so if it could happen for Brother Al, it can happen for you or your family. Come on, somebody said amen. Somebody say souls. There's a sign at a department store one time said, "We will not be undersold." I think that ought to be the attitude of the Central Church. We're not going to be undersold. Amen. We're going to reach. There's a harvest that is ripe and ready. There needs to be labors. And God is calling forth labors. What a move of God this past Sunday. What a deep, deep move of God. One in the likes that we have not seen in quite some time. Kind of sound like Donald Trump just then. We haven't seen in quite some time. Intercession, the gifts of the Spirit, the depth of what God did Sunday. And I'm not going to try to recreate that service tonight, but I do want to continue in that same vein to some extent. And actually what some things that God did or how God called the church to respond this past Sunday. Thank you, Brother Daniel and Sister Kirsten. Thank you very much. I don't have a scripture text that I'm going to turn your attention to. I am going to start out with telling about a story that I read a few weeks ago that caught my attention. And some of you may recall this. I'm not sure how, if any at all, it affected this area. But in 1993, there was a bad, bad flood. The Mississippi River flooded its banks. It was just saturated with rain, particular areas, in particular Missouri and Illinois. They were just saturated with rain. And obviously the rain starts piling up and the ground has no ability to soak in any more rain after some time. And so it starts filling the rivers, as we're familiar with around here, around Pickwick and whatnot on occasions. and my sister and brother-in-law in particular are, because they live right there on the waters, and there's been a few times since they've lived there that they've had to vacate, evacuate, and take what few things that they could with them because of the rising of the waters. And this happened in 1993. The Mississippi River rose to great, great levels. And again, in particular, Missouri and Illinois was affected. And there were places, levees that were checked on and checked on several occasions to make sure that they were still standing strong as the waters begin to rise. And thankfully, there for a long while, the levees were able to hold off the waters from getting into particular towns who were prepared for it. But there was an individual who made a very foolish decision, and he decided, I'm going to break, at least hinder, one of the levees in Quincy, Illinois. At this time, they had not been affected by the rising waters of the river. They had kept free from it. But he decided unwisely that he was going to mess with the levees, and he did so. And the end result was Quincy, Louisiana, was inundated with water. They were flooded. Across the river in Missouri, they were flooded as well because of one old man who made a foolish decision to mess with the levee. It's interesting to know why he messed with the levee. Now, as the waters rose, you know, they were having to use ferries to get back and forth and other means, because river or bridges were washed out. And so he was a man that was married. His wife worked on the other side of the river in Missouri as a waitress at a truck stop, and he wanted to strand her on the Missouri side because he wanted to drink, and he wanted to have an affair, and he wanted to have fun with his friends without her knowing about it. And so that happened. And so that he did, and the results were catastrophic because of the decision that he made. A couple of things that I want to point out about this. Number one is, be very careful about when you start flirting with sin, because it'll take you, as the old saying is, it'll cause you to stay longer than you wanted to stay and cause more damage than you ever thought and imagined it would do. We ought to be careful that we are not playing with sin. Sin is not something to play with, because it will wreak more havoc in your life than what you realize. You may go into it thinking, you know what, it's not going to be that bad of a deal, when the end result is it can become a very serious issue when you give yourself over to sin. The Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We cannot afford to play around even with a little bit of sin, because its damage can be widespread in our own lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, on our jobs, and other things. So we must be careful that we do not allow sin just to flood our lives. We've got to take every precaution to make sure that does not happen, because sin gets out of control. Now I want to look at it from the flip side of that also, because as I mentioned, the waters did break, and they broke through in places that had been untouched by the Mississippi River waters until that man broke the levee. And then it flooded areas that had not been flooded up until this point. I say that to say this, because the flip side that I want to point you to at this point is that if we will allow the Holy Ghost to move through us and flow through us, it can go to areas in our city and lives that have been untouched and seemingly unchanged, who have surrounded themselves with barriers, I don't want anybody loving me. I don't want anybody telling me about Jesus. I don't want your gospel. I don't want your doctrine. I want you to stay far from me. But brothers and sisters, when we allow the love of God to flow through us and the overflow of His Spirit to reach out into other areas, it has the ability and the means to change hearts that we never thought possibly that could be changed. Paul, if you notice in the scripture, was once a person who resisted God before his name was changed, as was Saul. But he was a man that resisted God, resisted the church, resisted these that called themselves Christians. But what happened when he traveled down the road of Damascus? There was a breakthrough. And the man that resisted the moving of God and the working of God and the working of the Spirit, this man was changed and touched because of the breakthrough that happened in his life. And I've come to tell you that if Paul could have a change in his life, there are people that we can witness to and testify to that they also can have a change in their life. It can happen. It can happen. Some say, well, I just don't think this person can change. I'm telling you, they can change. Again, people that we never thought would be changed or could be affected by the Spirit of God that have resisted. I don't want anything to do with you folks. I'm not going to that crazy place. Brother Rick used to say that, I think, before he got the Holy Ghost and God changed his life. He didn't want anything to do with us crazy apostolic people. And it's amazing how when we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, how it has the ability to change those that right now are resisting the Spirit of God. Again, if God did it to Saul, He can do it to your neighbor. He can do it to your family member. I need an amen right here. You're not going to go to sleep on me tonight. Amen. He can do it to your neighbor, to your spouse, whoever it is, your lost kids, loved ones. God can make a change in their life. God did it to Nineveh. Amen. Here they were living a wild lifestyle, a God-forbidden lifestyle. Their life was so wretched and deepened and seated in sin. But the Bible said that when the man of God became to speak to them and preach to them, repentance and a seeking of God begin to spread like wildfire throughout Nineveh. Amen. They became hungry for what God was doing. And I'm talking about people that were evil people, ungodly individuals. Jonah didn't really want to go there, but God forced his hand to go because of the wicked lifestyle of Nineveh. But if God changed them and they sought for repentance and they sought God, there's not a person in our city or in our county that God cannot reach and touch. God can change them. God can. How about on the day of Pentecost? The fire of God's Spirit began to fall and begin to spread again like wildfire on those that were at one time mocking and resisting the gospel. You know, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk, these people in the upper room. Thought they were drunk. And Simon Peter reminds them or informs them, we're not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is the same thing that Joel prophesied about. And he teaches a Bible study. Who was he teaching a Bible study to? Not only those that were in the upper room. There was only about 120 of those. The Bible said outside of that 120, another approximately 3,000 were added to the souls or added to the church. Who were a part of those 3,000? Some of those that were just mocking them as being drunk. You people are foolish. You people are crazy. But it was those same people that were laughing and making scornful remarks about the church, that it was those same people that repented of their sins, was baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. So I remind us again today that if God did it for them, God can do it for anybody else in our city. He's able. He's able. There's not anything too hard for Him. Amen. When you look in the Word of God, there's a scripture I didn't give to you, but it's easy to find. You'll notice that the Holy Ghost is likened to fire in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 3. It talks about cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. So the Holy Ghost is likened to fire. And so we must desire as a body of believers for the fire to not only fall on us, but to spread in the church and outside of the church. I want the Holy Ghost to fall on me. I want the Holy Ghost to fall on this church. I want the Holy Ghost to fall on those who are here tonight. But I don't want the Holy Ghost just to fall on us. I want the Spirit of God to spread through this city and spread through this county and spread through Farmington and all the areas, other areas of our county. I want the Holy Ghost to fall and to spread like fire. And it can happen. It can happen. Amen. But for it to fall and to spread, it's got to begin with us. It's got to begin with us. Luke chapter number 3, verses 14 through 16. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now that's a very direct and harsh, very much to the point statement that God makes to the church of Laodicea, that I say would apply to the church today. That he would rather you be ice cold or either be red hot. He said, but if you are lukewarm, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. That is important for us to do self-inventory. Where do I stand? Where do I think I stand in the eyes of God? Am I ice cold? Would I rather be at home than at church tonight? If so, that's an indicator you're too far away from the cross. Amen. Especially if it's habitual, an attitude. I'll be honest, there's tons of times I've come to church, I was like, man, I'd rather be at home. I'm not going to lie. But if it becomes habitual and often, that is an alarming code being sent to you. You need to get back to the altar. You need a fresh touch of God's Spirit. You need to pray through again. You know, back in the olden days, like when I was young, we used to say, you need to pray through. We don't hear that phrase much anymore, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to pray through. What does that mean? Pray until I talk in tongues? No, pray until you get an absolute breakthrough that when you walk up out of this place, you are a changed individual. I'm not thinking the way I was before prayer. I'm not going to talk the way I was before prayer. My attitude's not going to be the same. My spirit's not going to be the same. I am a changed man. And so if you're cold today, I've got news for you. You need to find a place back to pray through. If it's been too long since you prayed through, you need to go back to the altar and pray through. And so God's will is that we are on fire. That we are red hot. Hot on fire for God. I thank God I can look at people that have been living for God for years, that their determination and zeal is kind of like, who was it, Caleb? Caleb, I think. Who said, you know what, I'm as strong now as I was when God first gave me the promise. I'm going to inherit my promise. I'm thankful for those, amen, that don't let their passion and zeal die with time. Let's stay on fire for God. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to please God by showing up on Sundays and Wednesdays and going through the motions, I got another thought for you. Because the Word of God says He will spew you out of your mouth, out of His mouth, if you are lukewarm. It is not God's will for you and I to be lukewarm. Now I'm not cold, I'm not hot, I'm just here. And I'm telling you, it is the will of God for you to get on fire for God, on fire about worship, on fire about relationship, on fire about being at church, on fire about the things that the church is doing, on fire about evangelism, on fire about lost souls, on fire about praying with people in the altars. I'm talking about a red hot fire burning within our spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something. Especially fathers, if it'll happen to you, you watch the amazing things that'll happen in your family. Watch the amazing things that will happen in your marriage, in your kids walk with God. I'm telling you, if fathers and parents will make that bold proclamation, I am not going to sit on a pew and just go through the motions. I am going to be on fire for God. You're talking about a revival in your home. You're talking about a revival in your home. It'll even make your kids want to live right. It'll make your kids quit talking back so much. That ain't about right. That is right. You know why? Because I was one. And when God got a hold to me about things about me changed. I didn't feel like smarting off like I used to. The Holy Ghost will change us if we'll let it change us. Amen. So don't be satisfied with going through the motions, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. That's not a pleasant thing. I mean, that's just as like him getting up a good hockey and just spitting you out. That's the way God looks at it if you're going to be lukewarm. Don't be satisfied with lukewarmness. We'll say it again. Don't be satisfied with lukewarmness. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. Hey, it ain't about just lost souls out here. It's about people in here need to make sure they're right with God. Amen. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John says, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, fire is likened to a few things. It's purging. His fire ought to purge us. It ought to cleanse things out of our heart and spirit that are not pleasing to him. But I also think it speaks of a determination and a zeal and a passion that we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody say fire. Amen. We need to be baptized with it. Now, Wayne Gretzky made a statement. He said, I've never made a goal that I didn't first take the shot. I've never made a goal that I didn't first take the shot. You ain't got nothing to lose. And you'll never make the goal if you don't shoot the puck. And you're never going to win a soul if you don't witness to somebody. If you don't love somebody, if you don't teach a Bible study, if you don't invite them to church, if you don't invite them to bring them to church. They don't have a ride. Well, you are their ride then. Well, my car's full of kids. Well, drop the kids off and then go get them. It's a soul. So if you say you'll never win a soul, you'll never win a soul. But take the shot. You don't have anything to lose, and they've got everything to gain. But you've got to first take the shot. Courage. Courage. You've got to have the courage to say, you know what, I'm not just going to sit here and be a pew decoration. I'm going to take the courageous step this week and call somebody. Go by and see somebody. And invite them to church. And the church said, amen. Burden must be developed in us. Burden must be developed in us. A very familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what this is? It's preparation, number one, for getting things right with God. But it's making preparation individually for God to move on the land and for God to restore hearts and lives. But first he calls on the people of God. He said, if my people, he didn't say, you know, if sinners out there would humble themselves and pray. He said, if my people, I don't know about you, but I got baptized in his name. I took on the name of Jesus. I am one of his. I belong to him. Therefore, if my people, he says, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All this is a preparation of a burden being developed inside of us for lost and hurting people. Because this scripture is not only talking about you being restored. He said, but if you'll do your part, if the church will do their part, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So when God's people begin to pray, it's not only going to affect them, it's going to affect those that are around them. If we individually, if we will take the initiative to pray and to seek the face of God. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he wept over Judah and over Jerusalem because of their sin, their wickedness, their turning away from God. And it bothered him so much. Again, we call him and consider him the weeping prophet. Several times throughout his writings, and it is the belief of many and mine, that he also wrote the book of Lamentations. But in these writings, both in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Lamentation, you will find a consistent theme of a man who is broken because of the sins of people he loves. He wasn't just able to look at their sin and go to church and gossip about everybody else who was sinning. He was not content with just going through the motions and seeing the spiritually depraved lifestyle that people were living in as they were turning their back away from God and just getting around with his preacher buddies and saying, oh yeah, oh so-and-so so backslid. Boy, I don't know if they'll ever find their way back to God. Oh, man, they're just living such a horrible lifestyle. No, he was not. That was not his idea of how to dealing with the sins of people that he loved. The Bible said and lets us know through his writings and through his actions, it drove him to a place of tears and of weeping. He hurt because of the sinful lifestyle that people he loved were walking in. It bothered him. It touched him that he found himself oftentimes with uncontrollable tears streaming from his face because of the condition that they were in. I wonder how long it's been since the last time we've cried and wept tears because of the lost or for the lost of our city and county. We had a mighty move here Sunday. An intercessory prayer broke out. Tears were shed. And I'm thankful for that. But if that only happens again once in the next couple of years, we've missed it. We've missed it. If the next time it happens is somewhere, oh, y'all remember way back in 2025 when we had this thing? We've missed it. This was a place and something that drove Jeremiah often to a place of weeping and crying. This is what it says in Jeremiah chapter number 9 and verse number 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Verse 18 says, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. I've just used two scriptures that speak to us about the attitude of Jeremiah regarding the lost people of Israel. It broke him. It broke him to see them living in the condition that they were living in. Families falling apart. People that once knew what it was to walk in relationship and offer the sacrifices and abide by the commandments of the Lord, that had now drifted so far away from God, that now look at them. They're so far from God. Now they're hewing out cisterns. It's not going to satisfy them. To know that they walked away from our God, and to see the condition that they were living in, it bothered Jeremiah. And it brought him to places of weeping, real tears, and crying over the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I just ask us tonight, when will be the next time we weep over the lost souls of our city? I'm not trying to manufacture something that happened here Sunday. I am trying to bring to light, though, the real actions and attitude of a person who really has a godly care and concern for lost humanity. It won't be as easy just to go through our day anymore. But that burden will bring us to a place of tears and weeping for their spiritual condition. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes were a fountain. He said, just let it gush out of me. Ah, broken because of the condition of Israel. Not because I knew I would teach this tonight, but I have made sure this week that in my time of prayer, I've allowed Jesus to take me to places of brokenness where I envision people that once worshipped in this sanctuary, and to see their life utterly out of control. I have wept for them this week. And I hope this is not something for Terry Harmon that is temporary. I hope weeping for the lost souls of my community becomes something more common than it is uncommon. And I hope it's something that happens to the Central Church that is more common than uncommon. That we weep over the condition of our world. I made mention of this scripture Sunday, but Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 41. And when he was come near talking about Jesus, he beheld the city talking about Jerusalem and wept over it. Wonder what would happen if we would find the highest place we could find in our county sometime, or a high point in our county, and just look over our city and shed a few tears for people that are backslid, for people who's never known truth, for people who are dying and going to hell, that we would allow a God-sized burden get a hold of us. And a godly compassion. How many times do we read in the Word of God in His earthly ministry, He being moved with compassion? Look with compassion upon them. God help us that we don't get so drunk on just, we've got the truth, that we forget to know what it is to pray and to weep over them. I'm going to tell you what will happen if we will allow it. I'm telling you, a God-sized burden will get a hold of us. I heard a story some time ago of a man that was once a preacher, backslid. His wife and his son continued to live for God. His son ends up being a preacher, going to a Bible college, becomes an evangelist. And there was one time in particular, the pastor said, we want to bring you home for a revival. We're going to hope that this revival, your dad is going to pray back through. He's going to come to church. And the revival was made for this man, this evangelist's dad. He would come back to God. He came, and the first night of revival, the dad came, but before the son got up to preach, he left. And ever so often, this is the day before technology, mom would write her son and say, son, pray for your daddy. He's smoking more than what he was. He's more bitter now than what he was. Pray for your daddy. And again, the revival came. Nothing happened. But at some time later, another evangelist came through and started preaching to the church. We need to be uncomfortable. We need to repent. We need to make sure our heart is right with God. And the next letter she wrote to her son was said, it wasn't, son, pray for your daddy. It was more, son, pray for your mama. I don't want to be lost. And it moved her to the extent she would go to her bedroom and she would weep and pray, God, don't let there be anything in me that would cause me to be lost. As a result, it wasn't much longer after that that dad, her husband surprised her, got himself all groomed up, and went to the house of God. Went on a Saturday night, went to revival services, cried and prayed. Got up the next morning. She was astonished. You're going back today? He said, yes. He said, but this time, I'm going there a sinner, but I'm coming back home a saint. And in that service, God refilled him with the Holy Ghost, and he lived for God. Tears cannot be something that is foreign to the eyes of an apostolic. Weeping is something that cannot be foreign, amen, to the actions and attitude of a saint of God. It's got to be something we're familiar with. The brokenness, the compassion, the love for the lost, that does more than just set us on our high horse. And thank God we know Acts 2:38, and thank God that we do. But God gets no glory out of that if we're sitting on our high horse and all of our pride and we've got the truth and letting the world die lost and going to hell. Ezekiel chapter number 9, starting in verse number 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw nearer, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare. Neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me, also mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Six men with the slaughtering weapon in their hand. Sword, possibly. And one with an inkhorn. He told the one with the inkhorn, he said, I want you to make a mark on those that sigh and cry over the abomination of God's people. You're going to set those aside. They're not going to be harmed. They're going to be spared. But those that live perversely are going to suffer the consequences of their actions. Those that were spared were those that sighed and cried over the abomination that Israel was involved in. Folks, I'm telling you, God's calling us to a place of weeping over the lost souls of our city and county. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go around 24/7 weeping, but I'm telling you, in your time of prayer and communion with God, you need to allow Him to take you to places that before you leave from that altar or wherever you're praying for Him, you have stained the carpet of the upholstery with your own tears. Not because you're in trouble, not because you're crying over your own spilt milk, not because you're crying over things didn't go just the way you wanted them to go, but you are weeping and shedding tears because people are going to hell. People that have once shouted into these aisles, people that have once prayed through in the Holy Ghost in these altars are away from God right now. And brothers and sisters, I'm not content with that. I am not content with that as a Holy Ghost filled believer and a God lover. I cannot be content with the lost dying lost. We need to shed some tears over the lost of our community. I close with these scriptures. In Psalm chapter number 126, let me read the entire chapter. It's not but six verses, starting in verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They just couldn't believe that God delivered them. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the north. Now notice verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It speaks almost of a farmer that went through a dry spell, that had a rough time and there wasn't much of a harvest, but he had enough seed left over for the next year. That even though he wasn't successful in the last harvest, he believed it's going to be different. So the few seeds that I have, I'm going to sow in tears. I've been through some hard stuff, been through some trying times, but I'm going to sow these seeds in faith and with tears. A harvest is going to come. And the Word of God says that if you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. What these few seeds that he had left over and that he planted with tears streaming down his face, I'm not for sure how it's going to go, but I'm just believing God. It's going to turn out. He said they're going to come back when it's harvest time. And brother, those tears are going to be turned to joy. Why? Because they may have sowed in tears, but they're going to reap in joy. And they're going to bring their abundant harvest with them. Brothers and sisters, I believe God is speaking to the Central Church tonight that if we will allow God to take us to places of weeping and crying over the lost souls of our county, there's going to come a day that harvest is going to come, and we're not going to be weeping. We're going to be rejoicing. Why? We are bringing the harvest with us. So you know what? I say let's not neglect our responsibility. Let's not procrastinate any longer. Let's let God move us to places in prayer that we shed tears. Amen. The direction of our city, the direction of our county, the direction of our nation, the direction of our world. It ought to move us that people are dying lost and we should shed some tears. And brothers and sisters, the benefit is if we'll shed some tears, there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be joy, and we're going to bring the harvest with us. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Again, I am not trying to redo the service that was here, that happened here this past Sunday morning. But I hope something is deposited into your spirit that you will take this home with you. Amen. And somewhere tomorrow, praise God, on your porch swing. Amen. Coming to the church, in your bedroom, driving down the road, at work, wherever you are, something will call you. You'll start hearing that familiar voice to prayer. Come on, talk to me. And it's not going to be so much about your problems and your dilemmas and your situations. Hey, man, but there's going to be some time spent with Jody and Ruby, Reuben and John Allen and Casey Cummins and Rhonda and Terry and Destiny and the Woodruffs, and the list could go on and on. Spencer and boys that I brought to church when I was working at the high school. You could call them by name. Hallelujah. People that you know of. People that you once sat next to and that you fellowship, that if they die right now, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. But I'm telling you, it can change. It can change. It can change if you'll get a real burden for their heart and life and start shedding some tears. Oh, God. Shed some tears for their soul. I'm telling you, a harvest will spring up. A harvest will spring up. We're going to keep preaching truth. This coming Sunday is 42 years ago that the church started. I don't even know what I'm going to preach. So not every service is going to be weeping and so on and so forth. But brothers and sisters, it can't just happen here at church. This is something that's got to be done outside the four walls of this church and not during service times. This is something we've got to participate in and allow God to move us in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, I surrender myself tonight to continued weeping over the lost souls of my city and of my county, of the United States of America, and our world. I pray tomorrow I will again set aside some time. And in my time of prayer and just seeking you, that I will allow you to move me in to that place where real tears flow from my face as I think about the lost souls and the condition their life is in right now. Bring them home, I pray. Deal with them. Show them truth, God. Let us be a light and a witness, God. But let it start with us doing our part, praying over our land and praying over people in our city and our county. I pray this now in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Amen. Remember the yard sale Friday and Saturday. I think it's going to be starting at 8 o'clock each morning. Amen. Encourage you to come by and support them if you can. Amen. Or at least make sure you help get the word out. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.